This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Mom, Dad, I just have to say, it breaks my heart watching you stress over dinner every night. This year, I don't want you doing the fridge stare down. Hot take. With the new Blue Apron, eating healthy is easy. They've got pre-made and one-pan meals with plenty of balanced nutrition. No subscription needed. You could be plating like a chef instead of negotiating with leftovers. Make it your healthy, tasty, and easy 2026 dinner resolution. Just saying.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Well, good morning.
We've last spoke with you guys about the Metrorail expansion ideas. Now, the 33 project we've heard so much about. There was another public meeting on Wednesday. Before we get to that, where do you guys stand on the covering of that section of the 33?
Well, we're very much against it. It's a huge expense. It doesn't really handle the whole neighborhood. It only covers a mile, and the Fruit Belt gets no relief at all, and it also separates Delaware Park from Martin Luther King Park. I mean, there's that section between Sydney and the Delaware Park area there doesn't get covered, and it's a huge expense. And the other thing that we're very much against, and kind of upset about, is it does nothing for pollution. If you look at their report and what they've said publicly, it's, the amount of CO2, and other pollutants will not change. And basically they say it goes down 0.04% in 2047. I don't think you can even predict that accurately. But the fact is that the New York State law, the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act, the CLCPA, requires that state agencies try to meet the goal of a 40% reduction by 2030 and 85% by 2050. They say in their report, they cite the CLCPA many times, 17. Nowadays you can kind of count these things throughout the report. So they know about it. They know that what the requirements are, and they say in there, well, we're reducing by 0.04%. So therefore we're consistent with CLPA, but they're just not. And it's really a law. The New York State law requires them to try to meet that goal and at least offer alternatives and look at the impact and how much benefits you can get. They didn't do any of that. We're really, really unhappy, that they're doing this. You look at in the report, they say, for example, that you ask the question, who's this road for? It's for the suburbanites. We talked to them, and they say, yeah, it's really to prevent congestion way out by the I-90. And they kind of pretend that it's for the people in the neighborhood, but the report itself says that 39% of the people in that neighborhood don't have access to cars. But they'll get 100% access to all the fumes from those cars. It's just they're doing the same thing they did back in the 60s. They're forcing this highway down the throats of the residents in East Buffalo and the East Side. And it's not fair. I went to that hearing. And what was an eye opener. There was, almost all, well over three quarters of the speakers were against it. against it, most of them adamantly, and those who were for it mostly were, you know, they were going to create jobs. A couple of them, I don't think anybody actually said they liked the darn thing. So the DOT did not do a good job of reaching out to the community, and the ROC doesn't, I mean, the ROC was the one that they reached out to, and we've talked to ROC, and they would prefer the park too, but they're settling. They basically told us that, Stephanie Gator. You know, it's just a bad project, and it's being forced down the throats of people. The DOT did not offer any alternatives, really. They did back in 2012. They did a great job in 2012. They had like 10 different possible ways of doing it, but then they come in now and they say, well, no, but the objective of the project is to keep the same vehicle flow, vehicle miles traveled, same amount of cars being handled on the road. You know, so yeah, if you pick that as the objective and the public had no ability to input on that, you know, well, then you end up with the same road, the same mistake. And again, for $1 billion, and the irony is that much money, $1 billion, would be enough to extend Buffalo Metro from downtown out to the airport into a park and ride out by Transit Road. I mean, the same amount of money for all that extension, you know, all the track, all the stations, all the cars, all the signaling, everything could be done for $1 billion, and they're going to spend that much on 1 mile, less than 0.8 miles of expressway to redo the same mistake they did back in the 60s. So anyway, we're against it. We're disappointed, and we're going to do the best we can to at least express our disappointment and our opposition. So that's where we are.
You spoke about that meeting on Wednesday and how so many speakers were against it. The people holding the meeting, did they have a response to those who were against it? Did they offer any kind of explanation? Or did the speaker speak and it was kind of just moving on to the next person?
Well, it was a hearing. So the people, they had a DOT guy up in front with a guy from the federal highway, from the federal government. And their job was not to speak. They said that up front. I mean, these public hearings, you know, they're supposed to be there to listen and not to speak. So he didn't speak. But they did have, they had about 20 people out in the foyer. And they had boards up there. And there you could go and you could ask questions and you could talk. And you know, when I talk, and I expressed to them the things that I just expressed to you, and they didn't have an answer. I mean, they basically said, no, we need that kind of throughput of cars. They didn't agree with anything I said. So, you know, they didn't have any explanation that satisfied me, at least. So, yeah, but yeah, they did have people out there in the foyer where they have all the boards and stuff. They had you know, charts, for example, with the amount of pollution before and, you know, and after and so forth. And like I say, it shows that it's going to increase a little bit, but, you know, 0.04%. One of our concerns was at the portals. Is it going to increase there? And they have some charts out there that, yeah, they will slightly. It's not according to their charts, if you believe them. I mean, I don't know what the data. I know that they don't have good baseline data because the sensors are quite a ways away, but assuming they did it right, it's a small increase right around the portals, because what happens is the cars go through the tunnel and they push the pollution out the ends of the tunnel, and there'll be a slight concentration right at the portal, you know, and there's going to be noise at that portal too. That's the other thing. I mean, the tunnel, that's the one thing it does. It quiets things down. So the people who were during that 0.8 miles part of it will see a decrease in noise. But at the portal, you'll hear that noise. And then, of course, the Fruit Belt, no change at all. Or the north of Sydney, no change at all. And that's a very loud, loud road. And it's just going to continue. And the problem is, if you spend $1 billion on something, now you're stuck with it for another generation. Now is the time to step back, let the community have some way in. And that meeting, boy, I'll tell you, there are a lot of people who don't like this plan. And they should have been listened to. I think about and relate to the Skajakwita. When they were going to redo the Skajakwita, DOT came up with a plan that was very highway focused and would be able to keep carrying the same amount of cars on that road, a little bit less, only 40,000 cars there. And people were up in arms, and they had to back off. And Cuomo then said, okay, we're going to redo this. I'm going to ask the GBNRTC, the local Metropolitan Planning Organization, take this over, and they did a wonderful job. They reached out to the community region-wide, as well as the people in there. They did some really in-depth traffic analysis, which is what you could do here too, you know, where they use cell phone data, because the cell phone companies are tracking everybody, and they have, there's some software that allows them to, or there's another company, I think, to go and consolidate that. So you don't know where any individual is, but you can see how many people go from end to end on this thing, how many people go, you know, locally just to this, to the college or to Elmwood Avenue, and where they're coming from. They can even track how many people were on buses, because they can relate it to the buses. It was amazing. They did a really good job. And based on that, then they knew how much traffic was there and where it was going, and they redesigned the thing with the community in the loop. So I went to all those workshops, and we all looked and said, and we kind of agreed with the objectives. Unlike this job, the objectives were stated by the DOT. We agreed with the objectives and included moving traffic, but also restoring Delaware Park and, you know, the connectivity to the museums. I mean, all that stuff. And in the end, everyone agreed on a solution that handled the traffic, because it included real analysis of the traffic flow, and it also restored the park. That's what we need to do in the Kensington. And you know, there's traffic there, so you do want to look at that too. But there's also arterials. There's Broadway. There's Walden. There's all those roads, the arterials that Buffalo has. They can carry a lot more traffic than they are today. The analysis should include that, and if we were able to get some, you know, to restore some of those in terms of having a little more traffic, it would also restore the businesses along those routes, which is something that got killed when they built the Kensington. Those roads didn't have traffic anymore, and all those businesses went out of business. So now that would help restore this. So anyway, you need a comprehensive analysis and evaluation with the public in the loop, with honesty about what's going to happen in terms of, you know, pollution and good modeling in terms of that. So I would like to see them go back, redo this, you know, using the model that we use for the Skidjackwana, with community, 100% community involvement. So that's our position. And maybe we could use some of that $1 billion to get the light rail extended.
Yeah, speaking of that, because back in September, you urged them to reconsider the fill-in option, what you're talking about there. What would the fill-in option look like if you're thinking of the 33 today from the airport to downtown? What would the fill-in option look like, and what would that mean for people living alongside the 33? For 4 years, I went to college at Madai, lived on campus for 2 years, lived off Parkside for 2 years. What would the 33 be in that situation to get to the suburbs with the fill-in option that you guys are urging?
Well, there's different options with that, but the fill-in itself, it would be, I mean, very, very inexpensive relative to this cap and tunnel construction. You would basically just get fill and fill it in. You'd be able to plant full-size trees. The trees that they're planting are smaller trees. They're 50 feet tall, as opposed to like oak and, you know, maples and some of the bigger trees, which are much, much better. And they have deeper roots. This cap thing only has 3 feet of soil, so you really can't have really big trees. You'd be able to restore all of those trees. You know, the cost would be a tiny fraction. They did a fill-in in Rochester on the inner loop. It was a little shorter distance there. That cost $30 million. You know, they're getting, the New York is getting $56 million from the feds for this project. We think that would be enough to do the fill-in. You know, now as far as the specifics of the road, again, I think that needs to be looked at. You can do some kind of a slow, but it has to be slow speed. It'd be a park. There might be some traffic circles, maybe a traffic light even, you know, kind of like the other arterials. You got to look at how much traffic that can handle. You know, we would want to encourage light rail, because that's the goal, is to get people out of their cars and stop polluting everything. But you look at that, but it would bring that road up to the surface, and there'd be several alternatives that they could look at in terms of the roads. If you go back to the New York State DOT, they just did a good job back in 2012, I think it was. And they laid out 10 different options. Several of them were on the surface. Some had, you know, roads that would carry more traffic. some that was really just a two-lane or one-lane. I think it was one-lane option and a two-lane option with some parking, you know, but through the park. So it would be a park road going 30 miles an hour. And then they had one, I think, that had like 40 miles an hour. You can go in their report. They laid it all out. And that was, I think it was in 2012, and I believe you can at least be able to access it on their website. I assume it's still there. You know, if you can't find it, I think I have it linked to it somewhere on my computer here. But, you know, those were all good options, and they should have been laid out to the public and have public input on which you could use. And it would include the traffic analysis. You know, hey, look, they might say, hey, this, you know, the two lane just won't work because we have so much cars. And even when you divert some cars to Genesee or Broadway or whatever, even then we're going to have more. And the community would get involved in it. So, you know, that's what I think they should do. I hope they can step back and rethink this and do it the right way, as opposed to what they're doing now is really kind of very similar to what they did back in the 1960s. They're ramming it down everyone's throat. They're making the assumption up front, the DOT is, that you got to have the exact number of cars that traveling through this route. And actually, their report actually shows a slight increase in vehicle miles traveled on the road, which is really against what the CLCPA requires. So they're really up against the CLCPA on this thing, the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act, and they, you know, that's New York State law, and they need to respect it. And they aren't.
Doug, before we let you go, I want to ask, you know, last time we talked with you guys was about the light rail expansion in Amherst. Is there any update on that? There were the three proposals. Have you heard anything since we last spoke over the summer?
I don't have any real update. I know that they had some difficulty with the FTA, the Federal Transit Agency, came and they had a lot of questions for the NFTA. Some of them involved some engineering. So that pushed the project back 6 months. So it's on pause now. Still moving ahead. They're answering these questions that they got from the feds, you know, and it's so in January it might even be more like March now, I'm hearing that they'll be able to start having public hearings with the final design of this thing. And, you know, and from what I'm told is that the questions they were engineering oriented. I don't know what they are. They wouldn't really tell me, but, you know, that might have to do with some of the tunneling questions and so forth, you know. That work had to be done anyway, so they're anticipating no real significant delay in the overall project. So the project's still kind of on track to open by 2030-2031 kind of time frame, but they do have this 6 month pause from the FTA. So we're kind of on hold as well. You know, I talked to them at the NFTA informally, but they're working on answering these questions. So there's a slight delay. Other than that, there's no change. They're still planning to go ahead with it. I know that there's a group of people who live on Kenmore and the Boulevard who are opposed to it, and they have some signs up. We've met with them. They have some legitimate concerns, although we've dug into them, and we think that, well, one is the blasting, and, you know, I have a good friend who's a construction engineer. He actually worked on the Humboldt Parkway project, and they've got pretty good technology now. They can really manage those the blasting amount of force used, and doesn't really. They can pretty much, you know, they can keep it low enough so that there's no real impact on housing and, you know, foundations and things like that. So anyway, but I understand their concern. It's a real concern. They live near. They're going to have this blasting, and of course, construction is going to be bad no matter what you do, where you do it. You know, even the Kensington as well, construction's always a mess. So those are some of the concerns. The other thing that they pushed for, that group, and we, like I said, we talked to them, and this is one we just completely disagree with, is they want to go with what they call bus rapid transit. They want to switch the buses. You know, and if you go on our website, we have a little video on that. It's on the Amherst thing, but it's all about bus rapid transit. And we show on there, you just can't make it work. The UB's been trying to do it with their stampedes, and the problem with bus rapid transit in that corridor is that buses only hold 50 people, actually 40. The stampede is 40 people per bus. The NFT buses can squeeze in 50 people. You know, so you end up with a lot of buses. They're coming every 90 seconds, and you can't get them across Sheridan Drive because Sheridan Drive has and Maple as well. You can't. You have so much traffic on those roads. You have to have long light cycles to allow the bus, the cars to get through. And so then they hold the buses, and the buses bunch up, and they're late, and they just can't make it work. And changing the bus rapid transit won't work, where you get light rail, you're carrying 600 or so people every 10 minutes with one driver per train, and it's you can coordinate lights and things because it's just one train coming. So the train's coming with our 700 people, 600 people. You know, those trains can carry up to 700, that's max. You know, that's not comfortable. Comfortable is like 560 people every 10 minutes. But, you know, like for Sabres games, they're getting 700 people in one of those car trains. You know, and it's every 10 minutes. You know, you can, if you want, and UB is adding, as soon as that opens up to UB, there's 20,000 students riding on those trains the day that extension opens up. So bus rapid transit is not a viable option for that corridor. It just is not. And like I say, the blasting can be managed. I understand the fear if you live there and you're worried about it, but they know how to do it. It's pretty safe in terms of foundation. Construction is going to be a mess, as I said. No matter where you do it, construction is going to be a mess because it's going to be trucks and everything else. But that's how you construct stuff. So you're kind of stuck with that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent, I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, Dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.